Hey folks, season 4, episode 16 of the AppSec podcast. On this episode, we talk about iGoat and pen testing iOS mobile applications. This is the first interview from AppSec USA, and we hope you enjoy.
The Application Security Podcast. Here we go.
Hey folks, welcome to this episode of the AppSec podcast coming to you live from AppSec USA. And I'm joined here by Swaroop, who is doing a talk here at AppSec USA, but he's also had a lot of experience and has ownership of the OWASP iGoat project. And so he's going to explore what that means for us. But first, Swaroop, if you would tell us your security origin story. So how did you get into security? How did you get started?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for inviting me. So I've done my engineering from India, and I was fascinated by the security. I started with like Wi-Fi signals, like so how they works, and mostly I was very much attracted towards like how to hack into the Wi-Fi's. Like it was a fun thing during college, but after that, as soon as I've done my engineering, I got job in the security. Like it was a security as consulting.
Okay.
And in the same time, I also started into bug bounties, and in over the time, I became one of the top bug bounty researchers worldwide, working with SYNAC and then Cobalt, and yeah. So, and after that, I authored a book on the iOS security is learning iOS penetration testing, and it's one of the most popular book on the iOS security available in the market. And I was, as my specialization is more towards iOS.
Okay.
I taken up that OWASP iGoat project, and we are now keeping that project very much active, and it's like a leading project to learn for the iOS security and also the pen testing for both developers and pen testers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of brief about me.
So now you didn't hack the Wi-Fi here at the conference, did you?
No, I stopped that. It was fun during engineering.
So do you still do bug bounties and type of stuff now?
Yeah, I do a lot. And that's, I'm going to present in the talk tomorrow. Like some critical findings where I'm not going to disclose everything, but like how I was able to take AWS just by using mobile application.
Okay.
Because if you see, then most of the companies pay attention to the web APIs or the backend, but the mobile part is somehow neglected. And
so you're doing bug bounties. I didn't even realize people did bug bounties. They give you the app and let you actually test the app in their bug bounty environment.
Yeah, they give the like App Store URL or Play Store, whichever is app is there.
Okay.
And they say whatever you can do, find issues for us.
Okay, so it goes to the production. It's their production application. Exactly. It's not like a test environment or anything.
So it depends on clients. Few prefer the production, or few prefer the they send the some crash analytics invite or the testing invite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And so, what is your talk here at AppSec USA is called "Pen Testing Swift Applications for Fun and Profit." Kind of has a familiar name to a popular article written about what seems like 100 years ago by Aleph Juan, right? About buffer over or something for fun, smashing the stack for fun and profit or something.
Yeah.
Maybe a little run on that. But with OWASP iGoat. So tell me about this talk, and give me just kind of a high-level summary of what you talk about in this talk.
Sure. So recently we released the OWASP iGoat in the Swift. So previously it was completely in Objective-C.
Okay. So is that the old? What's the difference between Swift and Objective-C for those that don't know?
So Swift is a new language, right? It's a new language by the Apple. So previously, like most of the companies, entire development was in Objective-C. And now if you see, the companies are moving from Objective-C to Swift. And it's important to learn that Swift vulnerabilities as well. So that's the reason we recently released a Swift version of OWASP iGoat project. And so that is the one part of my talk. And as I said, I do bug bounties. I had like critical findings from them in the iOS applications. which I'm going to explain in the talk.
So I guess, so in your talk, you're gonna reference some of the really critical issues and things. Since we're recording this now, and this isn't going to get posted until after your talk, you can give us kind of the inside scoop. So what are some of those critical issues that folks should be thinking about with their mobile apps?
Yeah. So if you see, when I talk with the managers or security folks, they have the automated tools, scanners for the web APIs, but they don't have tools or the people who can take for the mobile applications. So that's the reason, like, I was checking one of the production application that was for pen testing, and what I found that one of the developers, like, so it was basically iOS application. And it's a general practice that once you get the application, you do reverse engineering, then disassemble the code. And while doing the disassembling, I found that the AWS keys were hard-coded in the code itself.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, so I used that keys and I tried the permission, and I was, so the keys I got had a lot more permission. I was able to launch EC2 instances, and I was able to do a lot more things, like I was able to list all the IAM users of that particular enterprise. Mm-hmm. And so if getting those keys into wrong hand could do anything, like someone could just launch thousands of EC2 or instances, and
so
that could cause.
Not only did they have the keys hard-coded into the app, mm-hmm. they didn't limit the permissions of the key.
Exactly.
So the key had full access to EC2 and all the other AWS pieces.
So there are two issues. Like, one is getting the keys. So that is that was the issue in the code level, like the developer has a mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was the AWS, the keys, they should have the very limited permission, right? But it has a lot more permission. So I could do whatever I want. So, but as a POC, I just launched one free tier EC2 instance.
And just to prove it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just submitted.
Now, how prevalent is that issue? Does that happen a lot in mobile apps as you're testing? Those default credentials and keys included inside the app?
Yeah, so if you see, not like AWS, but like different, like in one of the application, I found the QA accounts were hard-coded. Like, so as soon as you load the application, it was creating one database, and it had one QA credentials with the endpoint. So you can actually access the upcoming features. Like, so application has a quarter 1, 2, 3 releases.
Okay.
So using that, I was able to log in as a backdoor entry, and I was able to access their all upcoming features.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's one kind of big class of mobile problems, would be default credentials, which that's a pretty standard problem that exists in product security. It exists in web applications, even not as much anymore as it used to, but it's still there. What's another challenge, or what's another big type of issue that you see?
So I see the biggest challenge is, if you see, we have lots of tools in CI/CD or DevSecOps where we are already looking at the backend, right? Whenever the code goes in the production, it goes through all the tools. So we already get the idea of security posture. But when you're talking about the app on the device, there are people don't have much skills, or they are not able to do that, and that's the reason we found so many loopholes in the code, which is like app on the device.
Okay, because you have access to the app itself.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it in a common, like in a web app perspective, I never give you, it's hard, you can't get a copy of my binary.
Exactly.
Like, let's say I'm running a Java application and I'm releasing it in a WAR file.
Yes.
You don't have the ability to download that WAR file
yes.
like you can with an app. So
exactly.
with the app, you got access to everything, so you can tear it apart. So walk us through a little bit about what you do once you get your hands on that app, and tell us a little bit more about, you mentioned reverse engineering. Tell us a little bit more about how that works.
So when we get the application, first we understand their business, like what exactly the what is their IP, or what is their business. And
when you say business, what do you mean? Like who it belongs to, or what they're selling, or
what is important for them? Is it like the data? So data is definitely important, but like which functionality is more sensitive for them, or which is the critical part of the application?
And you can tell that. So you can tell that just by using the application.
So yeah, we navigate to our application. We check out all the options, functionalities,
okay.
and then we figure it out, like what is the most important.
So the user, part. You're at the user level
exactly.
at that point. Okay.
Yeah. So we do is like black box. We don't know what is like server side. It's like a complete black box testing.
Which means you have no knowledge. no internal knowledge of the code that's running, no internal knowledge of the systems. They hand you the app and they say, see what you can do.
Yeah. So all we have is the URL, App Store URL, and with that, whatever we can do.
Okay.
After that, we do the static analysis. We check like what is application storing in the locally on the device. So there is again misconception that developers say that they don't consider issues which are on the rooted device. Like they say that if let's say they are storing the credentials in the kitchen, and they say that it will be accessible only if the device is rooted. So they don't care.
Okay.
But if you see the routing is, it's just like it's very easy nowadays. Jailbreaking device is not a tough job. If you see like jailbreaks are available till almost iOS 11, and recently there was Pangu team demonstrated jailbreak for the iOS 12.
That's brand new.
Yeah, so developers should keep in mind that the app is going to be accessed on the rooted device or the compromised device where the user will have access to everything, like whatever they are storing in the kitchen or whatever is in the local storage, or or they could reverse engineer the application. Like so in iOS it's pretty standard format, like you can easily reverse engineer any application. Like you can first decrypt the application using the tools like Clutch, and then you can dump all the classes.
Is that because you have the keys? Like your phone, your personal phone has to be able to decrypt the app to run it.
So
right?
Once you unlock the phone, you can use a Clutch utilities like Clutch, and then you can actually decrypt the application
using your credentials on the phone.
You don't need credentials. So basically, Clutch, how it works is like when you load the application into your memory, it's basically decrypted.
Okay.
So Clutch uses that thing, and it basically help you to decrypt the application.
Okay.
And after that, you use the class dumpy, and you can actually dump the classes. You can so you can also use the disassemblers, and you can understand pretty much everything in the application. What are the workflows? What are the hard-coded values and other stuff? So methodology is like static analysis, then reverse engineering. Then we keep the proxy in between, and again we check the like dynamic scanning of the application.
So when you say static analysis, are there tools that you're using that's actually performing the static analysis?
So there is no like one tool which will do everything. Like we have like different open source tools. Mostly the tools are like free and open source.
Okay.
We use for the static analysis. And that comes for like storage analysis or the kitchen data and other things.
Yeah. Okay. And so so that's the static analysis side. You're dumping the classes in the disassembler to look for hard-coded values. So when you proxy, you're just running normal DAS tools, dynamic application security testing tools, against the app, or is it special tools for apps?
It's a normal, like we keep the Bobsuit proxy or different scanners, and we check the traffic going from app to backend.
Okay, so you're not really scanning the app for vulnerabilities per se in the web, like a web service that might be running on the app, because everything's running on the server side.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, so nowadays, a hybrid application where your server it's communicating to the servers in the backend. So
okay.
And what I see is like even the endpoints used by the mobile application are weak because they don't the many companies don't pay much attention towards that. Like they have the different endpoints for your web application and different endpoints for your mobile application.
Okay.
And I found many of the issues in the endpoints used by the mobile applications.
So they're not as vigilant in their like security server, for the mobile endpoints?
Yeah, so server-side validation and like those issues are more towards the mobile endpoints.
I guess it makes sense because they're probably not seeing as much attack traffic to the mobile side because people just aren't poking at it as much, but that will change, right?
But nowadays, time has changed. If you see the traffic for all the big companies, it's more than 50% is from the mobile comparing to your web application.
After the break, Swaroop answers the question, how does iGoat fit into the pen testing process for iOS and Swift-based applications? The Application Security Podcast operates with support from Security Journey. A security belt program provides the three pillars of successful AppSec training: learning, application, and experience. Visit us on the web at www.securityjourney.com to learn how you can teach and empower your developers using a new kind of security training. What is the correlation between iGoat and WebGoat?
Almost everyone have heard of WebGoat. So WebGoat is everyone, they start learning for the web vulnerabilities. So same is iGoat, to learn vulnerabilities in the iGoat. So as I said, I do lots of bug bounties. I do lots of security assessment. I get case, so I take the case studies from there and I add it in the iGoat. So everyone in the security community, they can explore, they can learn the vulnerabilities which are oftenly find in the iOS applications. And it not only helps to find, but it also helps to secure. Like we provide the solution in the code itself. So all you have to do is rebuild the project and that particular vulnerability will be fixed.
So when I get an iGoat, is an iGoat an app and a web service? Or what is iGoat?
Yeah. So it's a mobile application.
Okay.
And we have the server in the AWS, also in the Docker. So you need to start the server as either as a Docker or in the, it's already there in the AWS. So it basically communicates with the server and you can use it on pretty any device like iPhone, iPad, iPod, or your MacBook simulator.
Okay.
So we have made it compatible and you can just start exploring the vulnerabilities there. So we have the challenges. It's not like just vulnerable application, but it's kind of CTF where you find the values, you enter that, and the application will tell that you are correct or not.
So give me an example then of a challenge that exists in iGoat, because I mean, I've used WebGoat, I've used JuiceShop, you know, the idea of SQL injection and cross-site scripting in those vulnerable applications is crystal clear to me. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of one of the challenges that exists in iGoat on the mobile side.
Yeah, so I will take the simplest challenge.
Perfect. I like simple, yeah.
Yeah, so the one challenge is like many developers make mistake to store data, like sensitive data in the normal plist file. So plist file is supposed to store the configuration and stuff like that, but not the sensitive information.
Okay.
So in iGoat, there is a challenge. It will ask you to find the data in the plist, which is already stored, and you need to enter in the application. So what the user or the student will have to do is they will have to identify the plist. They will have to identify the data from that, and they will have to enter in the application, and the application will tell that it's right data or not. So once they find that, there is a method in the code to store the data in the keychain. So again, they need to uncomment that code and basically rebuild the project. So next time the data will be stored in the keychain instead of the plist.
Oh, so they fix it?
Yeah.
Oh, so part of iGoat is it's not just breaking and finding the broken pieces, it's actually fixing.
Exactly.
Okay, that's different than any of the other, when I think of WebGoat and JuiceShop and even DevSlop,
yeah,
that's different. That's a different approach. And I think that's actually pretty cool to go further than just break it. Let's break it and then let's fix it.
So we have built for the both pen testers and developers.
Okay.
Because I do lots of training and what I understood is developers are very interested to learn security, but they don't have the right platform because when they start looking for security solutions, they end up with the lots of Stack Overflows, then the different blogs,
yep,
and they don't know what exactly to fix that problem. And over the time, they will leave because they are under pressure to implement some functionality or feature. So OWASP iGoat is a one platform where they can just use the one single point where they can learn the how to attack, and also they will learn how to secure that particular vulnerability.
Okay, so now give me like a more difficult challenge. Give me an example of something that's, you said that was an easy one. Give me an example of one that's maybe medium or hard.
So we have the let's say cloud misconfiguration attack. It's basically, we see that nowadays everyone using the S3 buckets for their data, like file storage. And many of the times they are like misconfigured.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I took from one of the case study, like in the bug bounty. Like, so one of the application was having like storing all the user profile images in the S3 bucket.
Okay.
And that bucket was publicly, that had public access. So in the iGoat, we have developed one challenge where you will ask to enter the credit card data. And there's a hint is like cat image. So if you intercept the traffic, you will see that the data is coming from the S3 bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And if you explore that more, like you will see that you can list all the files from the S3 bucket, and you will have the one file which has the credit card information that you need to enter in the application. And
is it in your AWS? It's actually in your S3 bucket on AWS, the file is? Okay, so it's not even in my Docker container or anything. It's actually on AWS.
It's actually on AWS.
Okay. And so how do I walk me through at a high level without giving people all the answer? Walk me through at a high level. How do you get to that? What are the steps you go through in profiling the app to be able to find this problem?
Do you mean like what should be the solution, or?
Well, without giving us the exact solution, like are you finding this in the app by decompiling or disassembling the app, and then you're finding a reference to the AWS, and then you're going to the AWS and looking in the bucket and finding in the permissions are bad? Is that basically or is there more?
Yeah, so there are multiple approaches. The one is, as you said, like we can disassemble that. We can just dump all the strings, and there you'll find the references to the AWS and also your S3 bucket. And then you can link and find the permission set. That is the one approach. Or if it's like, you can also intercept the traffic using BubSuit. And if it's from your S3 bucket, you can observe that the data is coming from your S3 bucket. And then also you can use the same thing, like to identify if what are the permission levels and stuff like that.
Okay.
And we also have the very interesting challenge of like encryption key management. Because, so we say developers that don't store a sensitive information locally, right? Because it can be accessible.
Yep.
But again, developers ask them what to do. So we suggest them encrypt the data. But again, developer asks where to store the encryption key, right? Because that is also a problem. Because if you're storing the key on the device itself, then it's accessible.
Yep.
So in iGoat, we have developed several challenges. We say that there is no one solution. There could be different scenarios. Like the one solution, one of the solution is random key generation.
Okay.
So every time you're storing the data, let's say you need to store something data, some sensitive data locally. That is the one requirement. You can store it, but encryption key will be generated at the runtime. So let's say you're using the iPhone and you have the unique hardware ID. So that will be unique for your own device. So like that, I'll take one parameter. Other I will take as a timestamp, like some timestamp, and using that I will create the encryption key. So the thing is, encryption key will be different for each of the devices, each of the users. So I cannot use the same key for decrypting everyone's data. So we are not saying that use the one solution, but in iGoat we have developed the different scenarios. So whichever, like the one is like storing the encryption key at the server side. So every time you want to encrypt the data, the key will be passed from the server, and that will be used for the encryption. So it totally depends on, like, we cannot say stick with one solution.
Okay.
We have the different scenarios, different requirements. So as per your convenience, you can try out that solution and you can apply to your application.
Okay. Interesting. So where do you see iGoat, or what are you going to do with iGoat in the future?
So the next goal is, like, definitely iGoat is a definitely good stage. We are also working, planning them to automate most of the tasks in iOS security. If you see, there are definitely some challenges with the iOS because it keeps changing, unlike Android. Like if you see, there is so much file structure change from iOS 10 to 11.
Yeah.
So that is a challenge, but we are planning to automate like many of the tasks which are for the iOS pen testing. Like, so if we can automate most of the things, then that will help the developers or the pen testers to find the issues at the early stages.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and how often are you adding new challenges?
So it's pretty fast. If you see, every month we release a new version with at least some bugs fixed or the new challenges. And its team is pretty small and all are the working people, but we try our best to spend time for that project.
Yep.
And we have done, like, we recently launched a new website. We have launched the documentation. And we have the supporters or developers from all around the world. So Junard is from Singapore. Anthony is from India, like, who are, like, consistent help me in developing this project.
Okay.
And there are, like, other people, like Arun from India, who is helping on the documentation and stuff. So it's, like, it's a community-based project.
Yeah, this sounds pretty cool, and it sounds like it's a nice fit within the existing vulnerable web applications that we have at OWASP. How does iGoat stack up against mobile application security verification standard and mobile security testing guide? Do they work together?
Yeah, so if you see mobile security standards or OWASP top 10 list, it almost covers all the attacks which are like listed. And it's pretty much, we are covering almost all the top 10 list and all the major attack scenarios.
Okay, so you're staying in sync with, all the mobile projects are staying in sync
exactly.
To some degree.
Exactly.
Amongst each other, okay. Yeah, and it seems like mobile is going to only become more and more prevalent
yes.
into the future. It seems like, more, like you said in the beginning, more people, more applications and things are going from server-side with web browser clients on laptops to mobile platforms.
Yes.
And so when you think about like Apple's different devices, like Apple's, they have an Apple Home thing now, don't they? Like a HomePod or something mm-hmm. like that. Are those apps in the same setup? Are they the same apps that are like what we're running on our phones?
So yeah, if you see, they have the Apple Watch, Apple Home. So it's pretty much same applications which runs on all these devices.
Okay, so all of the things you're doing from a pen testing perspective apply to all the different devices that are non-laptop or host operating system based.
So frankly, I have mostly worked with iPhone,
okay.
iOS applications, and couple of Apple Watch, but not the other devices.
Okay. They got to be on the same problems.
Same, because they runs on the same iOS operating system.
Yep.
And it's pretty much the, when we are talking about the iOS, the structure will remain same. They will have the local data storage and they will have the keychain and same.
So tvOS and watchOS and I don't know what runs on the home devices, but they're all going to have the same or similar style of problems to what you've already laid out here for the phones.
Definitely. If we do security review, we are going to get these fancy bugs.
Yeah. So maybe we should not have all these devices.
Yeah.
We know that's never going to happen. So
yes.
We have to make them secure. And it sounds like you're on your way down that road of helping to make that happen in the industry. So thank you for your contributions on iGoat. And thanks for taking the time to bring us up to speed on.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for inviting me.
Thanks for listening to the Application Security Podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a favor and visit the iTunes store and give us a 5-star rating. Our intro music is 8-Bit Kung Fu by Born and TJ, and the outro is Southern Delight by Stefan Kartenberg. You can find us on Twitter at AppSecPodcast or on the web at www.appsecpodcast.org.